We thank you very much just being here to praise you. You are the captain of our life. You are the captain of our church. And your scripture, your word is a compass. So I pray that you will follow you faithfully. You present in this room. You watch our service. So I pray you would be pleased. Everything we do for your glory, Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We are in the transition. You see the decoration, very much like Christmas, ready for Christmas. But however, the sign is still Thanksgiving. So we're in the transition between November and December, especially we get ready for the Advent. The first Sunday is very much about hope. Second Sunday about faith. The third Sunday about joy. And the fourth Sunday is about peace. And right after Christmas Eve, on Monday, we have the Christmas celebration focused on Jesus Christ. But for this year, Advent, I picked the topic, or the big one, about faith. Because we need to go back to the early church, especially in the book of Acts, learn about faith. Remember, faith, there is nothing more central than being a Christian. So if you say you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and when you said you go to the Christian church, especially the West Houston Baptist Church here, faith is something we need to hone on. We need to understand, because the faith is essential to salvation. Because when by faith we believe, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our Savior, we for sure, 100%, no doubt, we have salvation. Talk back in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse 6. Without faith, the Christianity, or even us, would be hollow. So if you go to church and you don't have the faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, 100% sure you have salvation, you go to church, it's just hollow, nothing. Because you can go through life, look like a Christian, but your heart is still empty. Yesterday, I went to one of the birthday party, 1 year old, and then I talked to the man. And he said he went to the church. He's 70 years old. He went to the church on his life. He is the third generation of the Christian family. But it comes down 70 years old. He knows just about every verse in the Bible. But he still said he's not quite sure. When he passes life, he will be in heaven with God. He's not sure. So something wrong when we not understand about faith. But today, we need to go back to the book of Acts, so we try to understand the early church. What did the first one, when they hear the message about the gospel, do they really understand the word faith? Based on their life 2,000 years ago, what did they compare in their first century world? So in order to understand the book of Acts, you and I need to go back to the time of the first church. There is three influence there. First one, they call it the Greek-Roman world. Basically, the culture at that time is a bargaining culture. So the people at that time, influenced by the Greek and the Roman at that time, when they went to the temple, they make an offering, they bargain with the God, whatever it is. And then remember, there is the Israelite people influenced by the time of Old Testament era, with the people who really understand the Old Testament at that time. They would base their faith on Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, basically talking about Yahweh, your God is God, the faithful God who keep his gracious covenants, loyalty to thousand generations. Basically, God bless the nation of Israel. God bless the children, his children, for generations. So he always there. And that the faith of the people in the Old Testament era. But again, we need to understand about the New Testament era. Because the people at that time, they influenced by the Greek and the Romans, basically the pagan at that time. The bargaining mentality regarding to whatever or whoever they worship. So instead approaching God in faith, some of us, we may have that influence. We bargain. The people at that time, they bargain with God. Oh, Lord, if you just get me out of this situation, then I will, whatever it is. Sometimes we in the New Testament era, sometimes if we're not careful, we may pray to God just like that. But again, God may or may not honor the attempts to bargain with him. Because yes, back in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, the Israelites bargained with God. And God answered based on their bargain. So, but the statement talking about sometimes you bargain with God, yes, sometimes he answers, but again, he may not answer. However, he always honors faith. He always honors faith. So by faith, you pray to him. By faith, it means you hold on to his promise. And God always fulfills his promise in the scripture. Some of you, how many of you travel by airplane? Good. Most of you. I would be surprised if you had never traveled by airplane. Let's just say you imagine with me, you walk in the airport, you get ready to get on the airplane, and you saw your captain, okay, of your flight, and your captain talked with the co-captain and said, hey, I had never flown this airplane, the 747. But however, I read on the manual about this airplane. I don't know about you, but if I heard the captain talk about like that, I will cancel my flight. Same thing, some of you go to hospital for surgery. You always ask the doctor, how many cases did you already work on? You know, whatever the situation of this surgery. How many hours you go through the practice? And if the doctor said, never, I only read the book about it, and the general practice never operate on anything, and this is the first time ever. But I read the book. Don't worry about it. I read the books about this case. I can cut you open and, you know, I watch a lot of videos. I know what to do. Same thing. If I go to the doctor to get surgery, and if the doctor had never worked on anybody, I am his first case. I may have some observation. I may seek for the second opinion or seek for the second doctor. Same thing. We need to understand what exactly it is when we believe it in. And that's the topic of faith in Jesus Christ. Go back a little bit. You would find out the day after the day of Pentecost, Apostle Peter and John come to the temple. As they did, they crossed paths with a man who is disabled and begging. So rather give him the money, Peter declared, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And suddenly the man you know, kind of like jump up, healing, and begin to walk. So the miracle happened. But if you read the statement closely, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter and John never declare, in the name of me, Peter, please rise up and walk. However, the people react differently. And of course, after that, you know, the healing man, he kept jumping around for joy and the Bible talking about, he declared Jesus Christ healing him. And the people gathering together and watch these three men. I pick Acts chapter 3, verse 16 as the memorized verse. By the faith in his name, it means Jesus Christ. His name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through him has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. So basically, suddenly, the healing man, he had made whole in verse 8. So we need to understand what exactly is going on. Because three things I'm going to share with you. The wholeness, from where? From the people perspective and from the God people perspective. Secondly, the wholeness from whom? Make that miracle happen. And thirdly, when? So from the human perspective, the people, when they're gathering together, they always look for the people, the person, but not look for the Savior. So they're looking for the human Savior. While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, greatly amazed, ran toward them in what is called Solomon Colonnade. So the people gathered together. Remember, the people at that time, they don't know about Christ. They see some miracle happen. So the crowd of people, I can imagine like maybe 100 of people astounded by this miracle. They are more than ready for the explanation from whatever happened because they don't know. They know something happened. So when Peter saw this, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by his own power or godliness?" So at that moment in time, Peter addressed the crowd as a fellow member of the nation of Israel. Remember, a lot of Israel people gathering together. So he had to use whatever the people at that time understand. So he shared the common knowledge about God's action and promises. The common background being covenant people is a context for understanding of this miracle. The context reminded them that Peter and John has no power, or they are not like God of their own, by which have made this man walk. So Peter and John communicate to them, they just like, you know, Peter and John, just like all the people, they are human. They are imperfect. They are subject for frequently failures of judgment and action. The people should know that, remember, these people, their background, Israel, they understand the Old Testament. So they should understand, they should know the power bring to this miracle, wholeness, evidence, belong to God alone. So that's what happened at that time. So we need to learn from the past, so when we bless on certain things, we need to understand all belong to God. All belong to God. It's just like our church, you know, one of the ladies in our church have third stage cancer of the throat. So basically, she go and then they take out most of her, whatever, the jaw, bottom jaw here, and rebuild the whole thing. And she go through the healing process, and the cancer not coming back. And hopefully by next month, they begin to review her teeth. But when you ask her how the word happened, she knows the miracle happened. And all this miracle, all this power of healing belong to God, belong to Jesus Christ, who she prayed, who she believed, and she trusts in him. So the question I would ask you, how can we ensure the people can see that it is God's power that undergird all our accomplishment? Most of you in this room accomplish a lot. Well, all of you, believe it or not, even you, the young one, you know, first grade, second grade, you accomplish a lot through your life. But again, can we ensure the people see on our accomplishment it belongs to God? And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Because if we not ask ourselves or clear about this point, we just like the people gathering together, watch the miracle, and look at the person. Instead, the glory belongs to the Lord. And another one, okay, when the people compliment you or criticize you, how do you react? Because remember, you said you are a Christian, you are the church, you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior. You are the changed person. But again, the old person, a new person, is there any different when the people compliment you? Or even when the people criticize you, how do you react? Something you need to think about, okay, until Christmas. But you need to have the clear answer for that. Do you prefer on your accomplishment belong to the Lord? He gave you a good family, provide you the roof, the food. He gave you a good nation, United States of America, to live it in. And provide the school you go to. You get all that knowledge through learning. Provide the job, the work, the business you're in. Do you see the miracle from God in all of that? Secondly, from where? So the people at that time, they reject the divine Savior, verse 13 to 15. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you deny the holy and righteous one and ask to have a murderer given to you. You kill the source of life whom God raised from the dead. We are witness of this. So from verse 13 to 15, Peter explicitly called the authority and power of Jesus in commanding the man to stand and walk in verse 6. But now, Peter gave credit where credit is due, meaning he and John are only the instrument of the miracle. So Peter, he stressed that none other than God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, who is due credit. But also Peter pointed out the people deny Jesus Christ, deny the Savior, deny Christ, die on the cross for them. It happened in the past. If we're not careful, it would happen today and the future. So he stressed that they, the people who killed Jesus Christ, the holy and the righteous one, they are the one. So with all your accomplishment, where the glory, where's the victory belong to? And he said, it need to belong to the Lord, our Jesus Christ. We are the instrument We are only the instrument. Through us, the miracle of God happened. Through us, He gave us the wisdom, gave us the knowledge, so we have ability to learn. Through us, He provides the essential, the basic foundation of life, the love of God. And because of that, we love the people around us. If we're missing that element, the world will be very dark, especially when we get close to the Christmas. So the question I would ask you, what are some ways our personal limitation can serve as a basis of bringing glory to God? We had a limitation. Because I talk to the people, well, I don't have health. If health is a limitation, so what can we use that limitation for the glory of God? And a lot of people come to me and say, well, I'm not smart. If you understand the limitation of whatever definition of smartness of the people around you, how can you use that limitation to be glory of God? So regard other people seeing you. So if they see you, hey, if the 7 feet tall people see you, and how do you see yourself? One of the singers, she only 5 feet tall. Okay? And she live in the world. This is, you know, she sing at the First Baptist Church. I had the chance to go see the concert. And this lady just cried. She only 5 feet tall. Okay? When she grew up, she was very short in elementary school, in middle school, in high school. And when she become a young adult, she's still 5 feet tall. That's the tallest one, you know, God given her. And she lived in the world 6 feet. Her brother is 6 feet tall. Around her is minimum is 5 feet eight. And she wrote the song, I'm 5 feet tall, but in front of the Lord, I'm 10 feet tall. I'm 10 feet high. And when I hear that song, I'm only 5 feet four. So when I run the company, a lot of people around me were very tall. So I don't see me as a 5 feet tall manager or director, you know, executive at that time. I see me as 10 feet high. So suddenly, the attitude, you know, is changing. Because under the eyes of God, I'm 10 feet high. Maybe with the people, I'm only 5 feet 4. And suddenly the world changed. And the same thing. Nobody can tell you you're not smart. You may be intelligent on certain area they are not familiar with. You may have certain skills that nobody has. But when we understand our limitation regarding to other seers, we can adjust and excel because you are the children of God. I want to use this example here. Yeah, it had to be a good example, so it didn't change. Okay, how many know Nick Vujicic? Okay, you know, when he was young, at one point in time, he wanted to kill himself because he born with the rarest disease. He has no limbs at all. But now consider he's the most successful speaker. He can dive now. He can swim now. He's skydiving. And when he come to Vietnam, 1,000 people come to Christ because he spread the gospel. He talked about the love of Jesus Christ. One of the testimony I read, or I'm listening to him, basically, you know, his life was very depressed until he met Christ, pray, accept Jesus Christ as Lord Savior. And everything changed. Suddenly, he didn't see himself as no limb, but he see himself as the extension of God, can share the love of God and the salvation of God. And now the people see him as a great person. At one point in time, he said he probably had never had a wife, but he got, you know, one of the gathering in Dallas, Texas, he met his lovely wife. And now he had four children. How in the world? He had four children, his own, okay? He had two boys and two twin girls. If he didn't meet Christ, if he not understand his limitation, physical limitation, and if he not pray, accept Christ as his Lord Savior to change his life, probably he already dead. He already dead because at one point in time in his past, before he met Christ, before he prayed, accept Christ, he wanted to commit suicide. He had no hope. So the first Christmas season, Advent season, hope is a key word for first week of December. And all of us, we have a hope in Christ. So wholeness, from whom? The sermon had to be good because the slide keep running around. Praise the Lord for that. From whom? Jesus' name, our faith, verse 16. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that come through him has given him the perfect health in front of you. So basically, he's the disabled man, he's a broken person. Now he become whole. He has perfect health. And he walk around and he pray in Jesus' name. Again, from application for this season, what step can you take or we take? Stay mindful of the ways God has shown his power in our life. You need to think about it. Okay? In your worship, worship at home as individual, worship at church, and when you go to work, workplace can be the place of worship too. So with the people around you, how do you show the way of God, his power in our life, in our worship? Secondly, in our family. Each one of us has a family. How do you show the power of God in your family? But if you didn't see it, and then what step you need to do? So people can see the power of God in your family. And the same thing in your private devotion. I hope you have the private devotion. Read the Bible, pray for the Lord to prepare you for the new days. And if you don't have it, need to do it. And Jesus Christ, his payment for our debt, because we are on the sinner. We are on the sinner. The Bible in verse 17 and 18. And now, brother, I know that you did it in ignorance, just as your leaders also did. But what God predicted through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer, he has fulfilled in this way. All of us were sinners. We cannot save ourselves. But God loves us. He wants to save us. So that's the reason why he came down on earth through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a God, 100% God, 100% man, coming down on this earth, dying on the cross because of our sin. And for the week number 4, on Monday, our church will celebrate that birth. To remind us, he came down on the earth, died on the cross because of our sin. And through him, by believing in him, we have everlasting life. We have salvation. But believe it, not just acknowledge. Because a lot of people, they know Christ. They know God. But they know just like because they read the book, somebody tell them. But a lot of people, they say, yes, I have Christ in my life, in my heart. But they don't have knowledge of God. And then they become Some people said, crazy person. Believe in Jesus Christ means you have knowledge of God and you accept him in your heart. The head and the heart had to link together. And the Bible said, believe in him, you have everlasting life. So you have to know Christ. And I hope for this Christmas season, you have to have the knowledge of Christ. And also in your heart, you have to accept him. Pray, accept him. Because between heaven and hell is only about 20 inches. Between head and heart. The two have to link together. Know God and accept him. Because the devil know Christ. The devil know God. And probably know God more than us. But the devil cannot go to heaven because he has up here. A lot of people have in here but have no God. So something happened, they just swing like under the wind. Like the book of James talking about, they like the boat, rocking ship in the waving sea, or when the chaos happened, this one is gone. So link to head and heart together. And look what he said. So when this happened, the wholeness, the salvation, the completeness happened with the repentance, beginning with the repentance. Therefore, Peter said, therefore, repent and turn back so that your sin may be wiped out, that season of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that way, and that he may send Jesus who has been appointed for you as a Messiah. Look what he said, repent, turn back. So the moment when you repent, accept Christ as your Lord, your Savior, the salvation comes. So Christ, present in your heart, is changing you. Changing is start from the inside out. It's not from the outside in. The teacher can tell you, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. But if it's not from the heart, you don't do it. You may just fake it, but you don't do it. The rebellious in us is always there. So we have to rely on the power of Jesus Christ to change in us from the inside out, from the heart coming out. So the question we ask, what should others see us as evidence of true or genuine repentance? The true repentance. Do the people really see it? You are real. About the way you talk? Before you are the sinner, you talk a certain way. But now, you're a changed person. Is the pattern of speech or the way you talk it different? Can the people see it? Your behavior, do the people see any different? Your goal, change. Because maybe, you know, before I accept Christ as my Lord and my Savior, you know, my goal in life when I was young, remember I born in 14th generation of Buddhism in my family, and the first son and the first grandchild in the family believe in Jesus Christ. So when you were young, I always say, you had to be millionaire. Money is my goal. But when I believe in Jesus Christ, money just become the instrument. There's a greater goal in life. So suddenly, the pressure of making money is no longer the pressure, because it's become the instrument so I can glorify God through that instrument. There's a difference. So what is your goal in life? When you go to school, when you go to college, what is the real purpose? And when you identify the greater goal God provides to you, and suddenly college life, study become very, very fun, or else it be very stressful. Same thing. Your profession, same thing. What is a great purpose? attitude, is there any change there? Because the people, they cannot see inside of you, but they can see something had happened. Something changed in the way this person talked. Something changed in this person's behavior. Something changed in the person had the vision about the goal in their life. And something changed in this attitude. And maybe that changed because of Christ. Because this person, when they said they believe in Jesus Christ as a Lord's Savior, the Holy Spirit worked in them. So maybe it's true. And they begin to ask you about what happened. And it's a great opportunity to share the gospel, how Jesus Christ worked through your life. Okay? So the wholeness, when it begins with repentance, it finishes at the end of the age. Verse 21. Heaven must welcome him until the time of restoration of all things, which God spoke about by the mouth of his holy prophet from the beginning. So the wholeness, changing person, begin from repentance, finish the end of the age. The end of the age, from theology perspective, is the end, you know, when Christ coming back. But trust me, yeah, if you're from the theological discussion, and the inner age could be the time when the second coming of Christ. But again, when you look at it from the human perspective, individual perspective, God gives you and I only about that much time. So the end of the age for individual is only about that much. In the book of Psalms, it's talking about, you know, if you last could be 90 years old, but if you really had a blessing, it would be 80 or a little bit more. So the end of the age of the individual is just your life. So I pray to the Lord that you will be wholeness, beginning the time of your repentance, and finish whatever the time the Lord gives to you. Some of you have more time than the other. Some have less time than the other. But something we need to think about. The reason I change the conclusion, the end of the age here, because one young people visited our church way back. He served in the military, 2 tours in overseas, you know, during the Gulf War. He coming back, perfect health. And the guy just turned 34 and had stroke and died. Okay, I just get received the news. So the end of his age, the end of the age with him is 34. But God gave him full life. He prayed accept Christ when about 16, 17. God protects him when he served 2 tours in Middle East. Okay, and people see his faith through Jesus Christ. And whatever the time God gave in him, he lived in full. And only like 2 weeks ago, he said he learned about Thai Kung Fu and all of that stuff. And the next Wednesday of next week, the church in Dallas will bury him. So each one of us, we don't know tomorrow. But we have to make sure we are wholeness. Repentance and the end of the age, whatever time the Lord gives to us. So if any one of you in this room, you have never prayed except Jesus Christ as your Lord Savior, the time is now. The time is now, because we don't know tomorrow. So faith in Jesus Christ is very much to be the whole again. So any emptiness, any brokenness in us need to be healed through Jesus Christ. From where? Here, now. From whom? Through Jesus Christ. The moment when you pray, accept Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, you are spiritually
you.
And let the Holy Spirit begin to work through you to change in you. When? Now. And through whatever the time God gives in you, so you be holy. Let us stand up and read together verse 3:16. Let's read together. By faith in his name. His name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through him has given him this perfect health in front of you. How to put your name in there? By faith in Jesus Christ's name. His name has made me strong, and all the people see and know. So the faith that come through him, Jesus Christ, given me this perfect health in front of all the people in front of you. May the Lord will be with you and bless you, so you can apply the principle faith in Jesus Christ for your life. Okay, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much because your word reminding us about you, Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray our wholeness life reflect your renewal of creation in all of us, in each one of us. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all the people, the church people in this room. May your wholeness, the wholeness life, reflect your glory and your creation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.